I have to forget something, you know, each time. So, picture in your mind, when I say someone is your enemy, who is the first person to come to mind? Now, I suspect, because this is a congregation of really nice people, and I'm not actually joking about that, that some of you just can't think of anybody that's an enemy. You know, you have nothing there. Others of you might be having trouble narrowing it down to one, but you know, generally speaking, even if you don't have in mind someone you feel is your enemy at the moment, you've had times in your life where there was someone whom you would classify as an enemy. Now, that's actually the focus of Psalm 5. And the Psalms, you know, are psalms, they're prayers. And one of the traditions of the church is to use them as prayers. And so Psalm 5, I thought we'd kind of go through that and see how you might use it as a prayer. Now, at first, it doesn't look like it's particularly about enemies. But trust me. You know, this is one of David's psalms. And David, of all the people in the Bible, he knew enemies. He was like an expert on enemies. First of all, he was a king, and he had a lot of military enemies. And when you're a king, a military enemy is a personal enemy. Okay? We don't have to deal with that kind of thing. But he was in war through half of his reign anyway. He had wars with the Philistines, the Edomites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and there's others that I don't remember offhand. Not only that, but when he first started out, before he became the king, the guy who was the king before him was his enemy. Saul hunted David like a dog. David had to hide in caves in the wilderness because Saul was trying to kill him. Saul was an enemy. And later in his life, his own son, Absalom, became his enemy and tried to kill him, tried to pull a coup and take over the kingdom. So David understood handling enemies, dealing with enemies. Now, you start in Psalm 5, you start with the first verse. It doesn't seem to be about enemies at all. The first three verses are a cry for help, but without specifying any particular reason. Consider my groaning, he says in verse 1, but he doesn't say what he's groaning about. Give attention to the sound of my cry, he says in verse 2, but he doesn't say what he's crying about. And then the next three verses are humbling in a certain sense. Just look at what he says. God cannot abide evildoers. But David makes it a lot more specific than that. Specifically, he can't abide the boastful, the liars, the bloodthirsty, the deceitful. Those are all people that David singles out as people that God cannot abide. He can't stand them. And as he's writing it down, one of the things that David had that was a real strong point with him was that he was honest. He had a very tender conscience. And he's writing this down. And he's thinking, God, you cannot abide boastful people. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a boastful person. You cannot abide the deceitful. Wait a minute. I had a guy killed. I was deceitful. You can't abide liars. Remember the time I lied? And 85 priests were murdered because I lied. As as he's writing this down, he comes face to face with himself. He is one of those evildoers that God cannot stand. And yet, he also knows it's equally true that he stands in God's presence. He is, let's see, how does he say it? I mean, you can feel his amazement. He gets to verse 7 and he says, But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. You can't stand me, but you're letting me in. It was two contradictory things that he understood, and he knew they were both true. And David wasn't the kind of guy, you know, who goes into theological abstractions and tries to figure it all out and put it all together. He just knew they were true. He didn't know the details, but he experienced it. He was thankful for it. He was joyful because of it. But he did not take it for granted. Oh, you know, I mean, he could have said it like this. Oh, I'm an evildoer and God's steadfast love is still mine, so I got it made. I don't have to take this whole evildoer thing very seriously. That's for other people to worry about. It would have been easy to do that, but he didn't. And so now, finally, in verse 8, you get back to what he was groaning about there in verse 1, what his crying out was for. And he says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." When he thought back over enemies, it didn't cause him to say, "Help! Rescue me! Get me out of this! Send somebody to deliver me!" He said, "Show me the path of righteousness because I'm surrounded by enemies." And he realized as he was writing this psalm that those things, the bloodthirstiness, the lying, the deceitfulness, the arrogance, the boastfulness of his life, a lot of it was because he didn't really know how to deal with enemies except by being boastful and arrogant and lying to them and being deceitful and sneaking around them and killing them. He was really good at killing people. And he realizes all of this, this thing about him that makes him an evildoer, is because he doesn't know how to deal with his enemies. Not according to righteousness, he doesn't. "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." Now, he wasn't afraid of being in danger. His life was frequently in danger. But what he wanted was to resolve this thing. I am an evildoer, and God has accepted me. He's put up with me. And I don't want to be an evildoer anymore. But I don't know how not to be. I don't know how. So, lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies. Now, fortunately, lucky for us, our enemies are not quite so vicious as David's were. Okay? I think there's probably four kinds of enemies that people like us have to face. You know, we don't face people who are out to get us. There are no hitmen assigned to find you, I think. I'm pretty sure. But there are enemies. And I suspect that when I ask you to think of an enemy, there were one of four different kinds of people that might have come to your mind. People who have hurt you, who have sought to harm you, either just your reputation, or emotionally they have hurt you, or financially maybe they have done something that has hurt you. And so you might think of them. Or there are people who make you afraid. This happens a lot if you have ever been in high school. There are people who are really scary. Maybe you don't meet quite that many people as an adult. Hopefully. Or there might be people who make you angry. Okay? You're really mad at them. They have insulted you. You're mad. They are your enemy. But you know who you probably should have been thinking of when I ask you to think of your enemy? You should have pictured yourself. We are really frequently our own worst enemy. So, how well are you doing handling your enemies, people? How are you doing? How are you doing handling your enemies in righteousness? Now, God was, I guess, what you might call very slow answering that particular prayer. You know, he didn't give David a complete answer during his life. But he did answer it when he sent Jesus. He answered that prayer completely. Lead me in paths of righteousness because of my enemies. Here it is, guys. Are there people who are trying to harm you in some way? Do not return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the answer. Are there people that scare you? Do not be anxious about anything, but with prayers and petitions, bring your requests to God. That's the answer. Are there people that make you angry? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And what about yourself? Don't you get tired of doing the same stupid things over and over again? It seems like I'm no brighter at all now than I was when I was 18 sometimes. So what does he say to that? He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. He says he will never forsake you. You are your own worst enemy. But he won't give up until he completes the work that he started in you. So, there it is. This is him leading us in paths of righteousness because of our enemies. Have you been hurt? Then do good to the one who hurt you. Are you afraid? Pray about the guy and commit him to God and let God take care of him. Quit being afraid. Are you angry? Try listening. Keep your mouth shut and try listening. It's always wise advice. It's very hard to follow. Are you disgusted at yourself? Don't give up. God isn't giving up. So here's the point of the whole homily. Make verse 8 your prayer. This is your homework assignment. Pray it in the morning, like David says there in verse 1 or 2 or whatever. Verse 3, actually. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. whoever they are, and you've got one walking around inside you all the time, do that. Not just in the morning, but make it a constant thing with you this week. We need to know how to handle our enemies. Well, if you go on reading the psalm, which we didn't in our responsive reading, you can see pretty well that David really didn't get it. He did not understand God's righteousness. He knew he didn't understand God's righteousness. That's why he prayed the prayer. And he showed how much he didn't understand it in the rest of the psalm. Make them bear their guilt. Let them fall. Cast them out. Really? The path of righteousness was something that David did not know. He was always learning it all of his life, and he never got it quite right. Just like you. You will stray out of the path of righteousness, maybe in a few minutes at the coffee hour. You may be an evildoer before you walk out that door. And you know God cannot abide evildoers. But astonishingly, he abides you. You know he does. That's why you walked in the doors this morning. Because he abides in you and he abides with you. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. You are just like David. You are an evildoer who is amazed every day by being stuck in the middle of the abundance of God's steadfast love. That's us. We need to pray that prayer as much as David ever needed to. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Amen.